What a great honor to be able to once more be among the people of God, to worship in spirit and in truth the Almighty who is truly worthy of such worship. To our friends who are joining us tonight, we thank you for visiting us. We thank you for your presence, and we are indeed honored by your presence here tonight. To our brethren as well, thank you for being here in service of our God, in readiness to be able to stir one another up to love and good works as our God commands us. Please open your Bibles to the letter written to the Hebrews. The letter written to the Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, beginning at verse 10. The Bible reads, "We have an altar from within those who serve the tabernacle have no right to eat. For the bodies of those animals whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned outside the camp. Therefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered outside the gate. Therefore, let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore, by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Please bow with me in prayer. Our most holy God and our King, our loving Father, we call upon thy sacred name as thy children who try, Father, and who stand before thee in holiness without shame. We understand that by rightly dividing thy word and by applying its teachings in our daily living, we are able, Father, to have such honor and such privilege to draw near to thee, because your Son, our Savior, who has given us access to the most holy, has given us access to thee, and Father, through prayer is one of those ways in which we can now, Father, bow before thy feet. As we seek to understand, Father, what the service of thy priests are, please, Father, grant us the mental acuity, Father, to be able to focus, to concentrate, to meditate. Grant us, Father, the strength that we require to be able to put on hold those woes of this life and to focus, Father, on thy word and not on thy messenger. And that, Lord, that which I've been able to glean from thy holy scriptures, I may first and foremost apply in my daily life, so that I, Father, may always shine brightly before men through that godly conduct prescribed by thee. For those, Father, who are unable to join us tonight, you know their reasons, you know their hearts. Please, Father, be with them. If indeed those, Father, who have not joined us is because of discouragement, or if it is, Father, because of disillusionment, allow us, Father, the ability to be, Father, that guiding force that brings them back to thy feet. And Father, if we have been the source of such discouragement, grant us the strength, the meekness, and the humility, Father, to repent before thee, and to, Father, make right with our brethren if we have been the cause of such discouragement. Thank you, Father, once more for thy love. Thank you for your Son, Father. Thank you for making us, Father, priests and kings through the precious blood of thy Lamb, Jesus Christ. It is in his holy name that we pray. Amen. We this morning were able to understand the purpose that we have as priests. We indeed have a valuable and important role when it comes to the kingdom of our God. As we've been saying throughout this entire quarter, it is a role that every single Christian, every single obedient and faithful Christian has. Regardless of office, whether we are a teacher, whether we are a preacher, a deacon, an elder, the one office that we all share is that we are all priests of the Almighty. And therefore, because such, we have an important role as the Levites did under the Mosaic system and as those under the patriarchal system, the fathers who would offer sacrifices on behalf of their family. But we mentioned that when we talk or think about the priesthood, it is very common for us to think in terms of sacrifice. Our mind always goes to the burnt offerings that they were instructed to give. that they were the ones that God had chosen so that they can bring and receive from God, from the people, their offerings, whether it is a trespass offering, whether it was an offering of thanksgiving. But they were the ones that had to receive it from the children of Israel's hands and then burn it upon the altar as God had commanded them. In the first 8 chapters of the book of Leviticus, we see how they were the ones that were going to be exercising and executing this office. But the purpose, brethren, of the priesthood, as we've already stated this morning, was first and foremost to be near God so that they can receive God's message to convey again among the people of Israel. We see that their second purpose was to receive from the people of Israel those offerings that God had required so that they can then and present them before God. And thirdly, their purpose was to guide the people. Their purpose was to make sure that the people knew the difference between the one and true God and those who were a false, who were not alive. Because the priesthood was completely different from the rest of those pagan priests that existed then and that exist now. So we have established what the purpose of the Levitical priesthood was. We've established what the purpose of the order of Melchizedek was. And we have now understood how we as Christians have the same purpose today. So how do we then serve in this office of priesthood? How do we then offer all those service to our God? Well, we begin by the one that we all understand. We begin by the one that we always correlate the priesthood with, and that it has to do with the sacrifices that we have to offer. If you notice here in Hebrews chapter 13, we once more begin by what our chief priest, what our high priest, Christ Jesus, has already done to open that veil, to draw us near to God. He secured our place and he secured our office by offering the sin of atonement, or offering, the atoning sacrifice. If you remember the Day of Atonement, when you read there in Leviticus chapter 16, and I don't want to get too much into this because God willing, next Sunday we will see this in the morning. Notice that in the Day of Atonement, the high priest was very necessary because only he could actively go into the Most Holy. And he not only went in there as God commanded, but he went in there as a representative of the people. So in chapter 13, verses 10 through 13, we see that Christ did this. He served not only as the high priest that gave us access to it, but then we see that Christ was also the lamb that needed to be sacrificed for our atonement. The lamb that needed to be sacrificed for us. And because of this sacrifice, you and I now have the privilege, you and I now have the honor to serve as priests of the Almighty Eternal Kingdom. Thus we have the commandment, beginning there at verse 13. Therefore let us go forth to him outside the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek the one to come. Therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. Brethren, notice that the Bible is confirming that as Christians, we still have to offer sacrifices. The difference is that we're no longer slaying the bull. We're no longer offering the lamb. We're no longer taking the turtle doves or the pigeons that were under the Levitical system. The blood of bulls and goats, the time to offer that has long passed. And we remember that this is why we began by looking at the order of Melchizedek. Because under the Levitical priesthood, these were the acceptable sacrifices. But we are under the Melchizedek order. And therefore, we are under the Christian priesthood. And pay close attention to what the sacrifices are. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 10, because there is something that parallels with the Levitical priesthood that also should parallel with us. Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 11. In fact, we will read only verse 11. And every priest stands ministering daily and offering repeatedly the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Now, this is in reference to the Levitical priesthood, the old archaic system that has been removed. But do you remember when we began this series within the series, how we have a tie to the ancient order? Notice that their service was daily. They presented sacrifices daily. You and I must present sacrifices to God daily. And we must present the sacrifices that please Him daily. So what are those sacrifices? Go with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. Pay close attention to what God says there as far as what is pleasing to Him. Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Beginning at verse 1 all the way to verse 7. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. For you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with Him in glory. Therefore, put to death your members which are on the earth: fornication, uncleanliness, passion, evil desire, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Because of these things, the wrath of God is coming upon the sons of disobedience, in which you yourselves once walked when you lived in them. Our sacrifices that please our God, that as priests of Christendom we must offer, is putting to death the old man. We must sacrifice our old lusts that we had in the flesh. We must put to death daily our old man. Pay close attention to the fact that in verse 2, this is how that sacrifice begins. What we offer now for the penitence and for our way of redeeming ourselves is no longer an innocent animal, but rather I have to offer myself in the place of my own guilt. And it begins by setting my mind on things above and not things on earth. Therefore, I must put the materialistic to bed. I must put the earthly to death. No longer must I allow my lusts here on earth and my desires for this world to take over for that which belongs to God. If the only time I am spiritual is when I am around the church or when I am at worship on Sunday or in service on Wednesday, I am not daily sacrificing. You see that? Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11 shows us that the priests under Aaron's priesthood, they daily sacrifice these animals. They daily offer trespass offerings. You read in the very first three chapters, and we see three different types of burnt offerings that had to be brought to the priests daily in service of God. The lineage of Aaron and his sons, who had been consecrated for this service, this was quite literally their job. From Sunday to Friday, they were daily offering sacrifices, because on the day of Sabbath, they rested. And even then, their rest was not as we imagine it. Brethren, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, as he defends the reality of resurrection, he says something that is extraordinarily true, that should be true for you and for I when it came to him. His defense saying that if resurrection is not true, then in vain he died daily. Paul, there, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is teaching us that daily he struggled with the old man. Daily he struggled with keeping the Pharisee of Pharisees down. Daily he struggled with having to keep his Jewish mind under the water so that his Christian mind could continue to work daily. We, brethren, have to begin by sacrificing our thoughts. by sacrificing our opinions, by sacrificing our wants and our desires that conflict with our spiritual growth. And we have to understand that it is a daily sacrifice that we must do. When we go to bed tonight, tomorrow, if God blesses us with life, it is another struggle. And therefore, it must hurt. It must be painful because we're putting to death the old man. Therefore, we begin by understanding that the service of the priesthood is of daily sacrifice. And our sacrifice begins by putting ourselves, putting the old man to rest. And we know this, that in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, we are to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. There is proof that it's a daily action that you and I must always do. Secondly, go with me to the book of Chronicles, in the first book of Chronicles. Once more, we're talking about a priestly service. We see, as we already know, that one of those services had to do with the fact that they would sacrifice daily. Go with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 15. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, here we see a second service that applies to you and to I in our current priesthood. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 1 through 3. David built houses for himself in the city of David, and he prepared a place for the ark of God and pitched a tent for it. Then David said, "No one may carry the ark of God but the Levites, for the Lord has chosen them to carry the ark of God and to minister before him forever." And David gathered all Israel together at Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the Lord to its place, which he had prepared for it. We're not going to read it, but if you care to study this later, you drop down to verse 13 and you see when and how David remembered this lesson. David had originally made a new cart so that the Ark of the Covenant could be carried by that cart and taken to the place that he had prepared. But unfortunately, because David was not following God's instructions, because those whom God had designated, those whom God had assigned to bear the Ark of the Covenant, were not the ones that were carrying it, it cost a man's life. And thus here in 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verses 1 and 2, David, having learned and having been reminded that only the Levites and the family of the Levites that God had chosen, he corrects his mistake. Because they had been consecrated by God and they had been given the duty and the responsibility to bear the Ark of the Covenant. Today, brethren, we bear such a responsibility. Only we have been authorized to bear the Ark of the New Covenant. You see, when we read about the Ark of the Testimony, we have to go back to Hebrews chapter 7, Hebrews chapter 9, where we are told by the inspired amanuensis what was inside the Ark and why this is important. Hebrews chapter 9. Reading there, beginning at verse 1. It says, "Then indeed the first covenant had ordinances of divine service and of the earthly sanctuary. For a tabernacle was prepared, the first part in which was the lampstand, the table, and the showbread, which is called the sanctuary. And behind the second veil, the part of the tabernacles, which is called the holiest of all, which had the golden censer and the ark of the covenant, overlaid on all sides with gold, in which were the golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant. And above it were the cherubim of glory overshadowing the mercy seat, of these things which we cannot now speak in detail." Notice what was inside the Ark of the Covenant and what was on top of the Ark of the Covenant. Inside the Ark of the Covenant had a golden pot that had the manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the tablets of the covenant, also known as the Ten Commandments. We've mentioned this before as to asking, why were these three things specifically inside, and what was the purpose of the Ark? It was known as the Ark of Testimony because it testified of God's omnipotence. It was known as the Ark of the Covenant because it represented a reminder and a seal of the covenant that God had done with the children of Israel. And the mercy seat, as we've studied and we read here in chapter 9, we understand was a foreshadow of Christ Jesus, our mediator. But we have to understand that not only does Christ cover our transgressions, but we, like the Ark of the Covenant, should represent and prove to the world God's power, God's judgment, and God's guidance. The manna shows how God preserved and sustained his people while they were out in the wilderness. God preserved his people, and he provided for them when they did not know how they were going to be fed. There we see God preserving and giving his power to his people. The rebudding rod of Aaron was a reminder of his judgment, a reminder that what God has decreed stands. Because remember that it was made necessary because there were those who murmured and complained against Aaron being the high priest. And thus God judged among the children of Levi that Aaron was fit to serve in this office. And the table and the tablets of the law, they show God's guidance. Because those 10 commandments were to keep Israel away from sin. Those 10 commandments were to keep Israel holy before God, for he is holy. Thus we see God's guidance. We see God's judgment. And we see his power through his provision and his sustenance. And it was the Levites who had to carry this structure that would always remind the children of Israel of these beautiful things in connection with the mercy seat that covered God's wrath against the people of Israel. We as Christians show these exact same things because we must bear the mark of Christ. We must be the ones who wear Christ Jesus daily. And through my transformation with the Word of God, through my change from being a worldly man to being a spiritual man, I'm showing God's sustenance of my inward man through His Word. Because it is through His Word that I am purified, that I am sanctified, and I am transformed. We see how God has justified me, which is his judgment, because he has provided a propitiation in Christ Jesus in accordance to Romans chapter 3, beginning there at verse 3 and forward. We see that God has judged me because of my obedience as fit to carry this ark of the new covenant. And we see his guidance through the words that his Holy Spirit has inspired, reminding us of the teachings of Christ, which, as we stated this morning, has been commanded to his church to teach newborn Christians to observe. We bear the Ark of the Covenant, brethren. Only we as Christians have been granted this responsibility to carry Jesus wherever we go. To carry his testimony in our lives. Testimony of the fact that his blood works. That his word works. And that the promises of God are true. If I am not bearing the resemblance of God. If I am not proving to the world or showing to the world Christ when they see me. Then I am not fulfilling my duty as a priest. Go with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Observe how the Apostle Paul there makes this very clear. Philippians chapter 1, beginning at verse 19. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but with all boldness as always, so now also Christ will be magnified in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Remember our first point? that we needed to sacrifice ourselves, that we needed to sacrifice our old man. Notice why. Because from the ashes of that burnt offering should rise a man dressed in Christ. A man who is now bearing the mark of Christ. A man who is now carrying that ark of the New Testament, that ark of the New Covenant. Because we know in Scripture that Jesus is the bread from heaven. We read this in John chapter 6. We know in Scripture that Jesus is a high priest according to the order of Melchizedek because God judged him fit. We see this in Hebrews chapter 7 and chapter 5. And we know that it is in the law of Christ that you and I must abide and dwell with him. 1 John chapter 1 verses 5 through 7. We bear the ark of the New Testament, brethren. And as priests, only we, the true Christians, can carry such a prestigious honor. Therefore, we see that our service to God as priests is, number one, to offer daily sacrifice by putting to death our old man and those sinful practices that we once had. And number two, to bear the mark of Christ, to carry the ark of the New Testament, to show the world through our obedience of the Word of God that He has judged us, He has saved us, and He guides us in this world. But finally, go with me to the book of Ezra. In fact, go with me to the book of Nehemiah instead. Go with me to Nehemiah chapter 8. And we're going to read verse 13 through 15. Now on the second day, the heads of the fathers' houses of all the people with the priests and Levites were gathered to Ezra the scribe in order to understand the words of the law. And they found written in the law, which the Lord had commanded by Moses, that the children of Israel should dwell in booths during the feast of the seventh month, and that they should announce and proclaim in all their cities and in Jerusalem, saying, go out to the mountain and bring olive branches, branches of oil trees, myrtle, branches of leafy trees, to make booths as it is written. If you recall at the beginning of the chapter, we see that Ezra had brought the book of the law. Ezra, along with these same priests and these same Levites, as he read the law to the people, the Levites were the ones who were instructing and making sense of what Ezra was reading. We read in the book of Malachi that the lips of the priests should speak God's law. Ezra chapter 7, in verses 6 and forward, recall that Ezra, as a priest, during the captivity, was learning the law with the intent, says verse 10, to teach others of the law. Therefore, we see that the priests were to offer sacrifices daily. The priests had the responsibility of bearing the Ark of the Covenant, but the priests also had the responsibility of teaching the people of God of the law that God had given Moses. Notice here once more in chapter 8, verse 13, that the priests and Levites, they were the ones who were gathered to make the people understand the words of the law. You know, when we read about the scribes in the New Testament, they were very likely, some of them, from the tribe of Levi. Scribes were respected among the first century because, as we've read before, they were considered as interpreters of the law. Sometimes we read that the Bible calls them lawyers. They were the ones that, because they were not only copying the law, but also because they were tasked with understanding and interpreting the meaning of the law, they were often respected and sought after by the people to give answer to the questions they had concerning the law. Well, this responsibility had been given to the Levites. This responsibility had been assigned by God to the priests. It was their purpose and it was their role to teach the people. Go with me to Deuteronomy chapter 31 so that you will see that indeed this is not a figment of my poor imagination. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 31. Notice what the Bible says there. Deuteronomy chapter 31, beginning there at verse 14. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, the days approach when you must die. Call Joshua and present yourselves in the tabernacle of meeting, and I may inaugurate him." So Moses and Joshua went and presented themselves in tabernacle of meeting. Now the Lord appeared at the tabernacle in a pillar of cloud, and the pillar of cloud stood above the door of the tabernacle. And the Lord said to Moses, "Behold, you will reset with your fathers, and this people will rise and play the harlot with the gods of the foreigners of the land, where they go to be among them, and they will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them." Drop down to verse 24. So it was when Moses had completed writing the words of this law in a book, when they were finished, that Moses commanded the Levites who bore the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, saying, "Take this book of the law and put it beside the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, that it may be there as a witness against you." They had the responsibility of reminding the people of these laws. They had the responsibility of always carrying that reminder that would hopefully keep the people from sinning and bringing upon themselves the wrath of God. We, brethren, today have that same responsibility of the priests of the cross. If you go to 1 Peter chapter 3, in fact, I've purposely been avoiding this passage because it is usually where we go, but now it applies. Go to 1 Peter chapter 2, first, verse 4 and verse 5. Coming to him as a living stone, rejected indeed by men, but chosen by God and precious, you also as living stones are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood. Now notice, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Go to chapter 3 now, beginning at verse 13. Who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you are blessed, and do not be afraid of their threats nor be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to everyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience that when they defame you as evildoers, those who revile your good conduct in Christ may be ashamed. We have to offer daily those spiritual sacrifices through Jesus Christ. In chapter 3, verse 13 and 14, we verify what we've already established. We have to be willing to die for the cross. We have to be willing to suffer persecution. In fact, in chapter 4, remember that verse 12, once more the Holy Spirit says that we should rejoice if we are counted worthy to suffer like Christ. But those sufferings is how I bear the mark of Christ. Those sufferings is how I show Christ in me. That is how I carry the ark, or rather the cross of the gospel. But I must be ready to teach. I must be ready to answer those questions. The questions of why. Why would you be willing to suffer for Christ Jesus? Why are you willing to give your life for the gospel of salvation? As a priest of the New Testament, just like Ezra, the priest and the Levites, spoke from the book of the law and taught what it meant, gave interpretation so that the people could understand what God's laws meant, you and I have the same responsibility today. We must understand the law of Christ. We must abide by it because we understand the law of Christ. And when people ask me, when everyone asks me to interpret my actions, to interpret my service, to interpret why the life that I live, I must be ready to teach and to help them understand what the will of God is. because only an active priest understands the why of these daily services. There's one word I hope you remember from this lesson tonight. It is the word daily. Our service is perpetual. Our priesthood is perpetual. I do not only sacrifice, I do not only carry the ark, and I do not only teach the law of God on Sunday mornings only. Every day, every night, every moment, I am a priest of Christ Jesus. I cannot remove Christ from my life. Removing myself from my priestly service is doing just that. I must daily sacrifice myself. I must daily carry the cross of Christ. And I must daily give an answer of why people always see me with that cross on my shoulder walking through life. I'm not allowed to put wheels on it. I'm not allowed to cut corners because Jesus did it first. It is our high priest himself who says, if anyone wants to follow me, let him carry his cross daily. Let him deny himself, carry his cross daily, and follow me. Little did I realize when I was studying this that that passage, Jesus was already alluding to our priesthood under his law. You see, friend, you can be made a king and a priest tonight. But it begins with offering yourself as a sacrifice to the Almighty. That sacrifice today has the word of obedience. You have to obey the gospel news of salvation. You've heard what God's will is as we read his word in Hebrew and Romans chapter 10, verse 17 through 19. You believe it because you're still in your seat. You're accepting it and you're processing the information. And as you process this information, as we read about believing there in Mark chapter 16, verse 15 and 16, you have to have a penitent heart. You have to stop resisting God and wanting to force him to accept the sacrifices that you want to offer, when you want to offer, how you have to offer. You have to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning at verse 5. You have to repent. You have to change your heart. You have to change your mind and give it over to God. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 through 4. And when you change your mind and you stop giving God what he does not ask, and you give him what he wants, you begin by confessing, by making it known that you now believe that God has sent forth his Son, Jesus Christ, and that he is the Son of the living God who died for you and I on that cross and resurrected on the third day so that he can provide for us the blood that washes away our sins. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. But it does not end with you confessing what you believe. You then actually have to put upon that that altar with fire your burnt offering. You know, it's interesting when you read about the commandments in Leviticus, the person bringing the animal was the one that God commanded needed to kill the animal and then hand it over to the priest so that he would put it upon the altar. You have to put to death your old man. You have to put to death the old man in the watery grave in accordance to Christ's commandment in Matthew 28, 18 and 19 and 20. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 teaches us this. And as we've already read, Colossians chapter 3, verse 5 and forward tells us that if indeed we believe in Christ, that if indeed we have put on Christ, we will put to death the old man. But then you rise to a newness of life. And like Israel, when they crossed the Red Sea, there in Exodus chapter 14, you go from being a slave to being a nation of priests, a kingdom of priests. You can make the same transformation tonight. And it begins by sacrificing the old ways, your old mind, your old man. If you are subject to this invitation tonight, we lovingly encourage you to come forward as we stand and we sing.